May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 509. Come, come, my soul, with boldness come unto the throne of grace. There Jesus sits to answer prayer and shows a smiling face. 509.
Thank you. to read together from the Word of God, from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, reading together from chapter 6, and then a few verses from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. First, reading from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The first epistle to Peter, chapter 1. We will read from verse 13 to the end. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 13 to the end. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth for ever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us, and help us to call upon his name in prayer. O Lord, once more we do seek to approach unto thee, or that we might draw near to the throne of grace, and that, Lord, not in any strength of our own, but, Lord, through Christ, or through his atoning work, his sacrifice, our only plea, that law that thou wilt look down upon, and that law that thou art well pleased with, and, Lord, is our acceptance unto thee. Do hear us, Lord, as we call upon thy name. And, Lord, we come, or we feel, Lord, our unworthiness. We come, Lord, truly like unto thy servant Jacob, unworthy of the least of all the mercy and the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. O Lord, is it not true, unworthy? O thou art better to us, Lord. Thy mercies abound unto us. O what poor returns we make unto thee. Oh, how poor, Lord, are we in praise and blessing and glory to thy name. O Lord, thou art continually with us. Thou art that one who hath kept us and preserved us, that one who hath gone before us in the way, that one who has defended us and protected us, that one indeed who hath blessed us, and with all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, that one who hath done great things for us, all those things, Lord, whereby we can bear testimony to, even, Lord, that thou didst suffer, bleed, and die for us. O Lord, do help us, Lord Jesus, to render unto thee the praise and the glory which is thy due. O Lord, we realize time and again how many failings and shortcomings, or how far short we come, Lord, in raising thee up, in exalting thee, in speaking well of thy name, the wonders of thy grace, and the blessings of a covenant God in Jesus. O Lord, come to our help, we pray thee, and help us, Lord, that we might be those indeed that shall be enabled to look to thee and give thee all the glory and the praise for all that thou hast done for us and all that thou art still doing, Lord, today, Lord, the Lord's day, the worship of thy name, and Lord, that thou dost draw us near unto thee by thy Spirit. Thou dost show to us our need of thee, and thou dost come to all our help, Lord, knowing, Lord, and realizing our own helplessness. O Lord, do draw near to us, then we pray, and bring us, Lord, sweetly to thy feet, Lord, ready to hear thy word and thy truth, to be found at thy feet as thy handmaid Mary. Oh, she desired, Lord Jesus, that food for her soul above her necessary food. Lord, we do pray, grant to us that real and true spiritual appetite for thyself, for thy person, Lord, for thy word and thy truth in our hearts. O Lord, come with thy Spirit. Let it find a resting and an abiding place in our poor souls. O, to do us good, to nourish us inwardly and spiritually, to bless us with a little inward spiritual strength in our souls. Lord, we want and need a little lifting up, Lord, a drawing near unto thee, Lord. Thou art our only help, and we pray that thou wilt appear unto each one of us, Lord. Impart life and peace and blessings to our soul. O Lord, come then in thy rich mercy. Look upon the helpless. Look upon the needy, Lord. Look upon those, Lord, who have to continually confess, Lord, that they are nothing, and that without thee we can do nothing. But, Lord, thou alone art the dew of Israel. And, Lord, we do pray that a little of that dew, Lord, may come forth into our poor souls. Oh, that there may be a little enlightening and enlivening in our spirit upon and towards thee, and that we may know, Lord, what it is to be built up and edified by and through the word of thy truth. Oh, let it be, Lord, that manner to our souls, that a precious Christ may be revealed unto us, our all and everything. Lord, do undertake for us, then we pray. Keep us and preserve us in thy love and fear. We cannot keep ourselves, O Lord. We do seek, Lord, that thou wilt be that one to take us by the hand, to keep us, preserve us and protect us, but bring us forth, Lord, through this our pilgrimage journey, as those whole and complete in thyself. Keep and preserve us from falling, or if it were not for thy grace and spirit, we would fall 1,000 times a day. Thou knowest, Lord. O Lord, we do pray, grant upholding grace, grant the influence of thy love upon us. O bring us, Lord, again by our faith to Calvary. O there, Lord Jesus, soften our hearts and humble us under thy mighty hand, under a sense and a knowledge that thou wast that one in our room and place at Calvary. Oh, may we know that humbling, but oh, may our poor souls be drawn and attracted to thee, never to be removed, but bound up in thyself and in that bundle of life in Christ Jesus. For, O Lord, it is there at Calvary that we are brought to see and behold thee to be our surety, and that one indeed in our room and place. So, Lord, do watch over us and preserve us. Be with us, Lord, in every part and aspect of our lives. And, Lord, we seek again that thou wilt help us prayerfully to commit all our concerns unto thee. And, Lord, that we might be resigned to all thy holy and thy sovereign will in all things. Lord, lead us and teach us, Lord, that way, that thou wilt have us to go, both in providence and in grace. And, O Lord, if there be any, Lord, truly exercised in respect of their never-dying souls, O Lord, lead them on. O Lord, reveal thyself to be that one name under heaven given amongst men, whereby they may be saved. O Lord, we do pray, if thou hast begun, if thou hast exercised, if thou hast shown them their sin, then we do know, Lord, that thou wilt complete that work. And Lord, may they be enabled to patiently wait upon thee and for thine appearing. But, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt claim them indeed to be thy people, gathering them, Lord, from nature's darkness into thy most marvellous light, from Satan unto God, and from this world into the kingdom of thy dearly beloved Son. Lord, thou knowest how that we pray for these things. We pray, Lord, for it here at Swavesey. Oh, that there may be those truly exercised in respect of their never-dying souls. Oh, teach them, Lord, the value of their souls. And, Lord, if they were to gain the whole world and lose their own souls, O Lord, do appear. O do show them, Lord, we pray thee, that there is pardon through thy blood. O that blood shed for sinners. O that blood of the Paschal Lamb that is able to cleanse, able to heal, able, Lord, to bring peace and pardon to the soul. O Lord, grant them, Lord, Not only that true repentance, but that believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save lost sinners. And so, Lord, we commit them unto thee. And Lord, we do know that it doesn't matter, Lord, how bad their case may be. Oh, that precious infinite blood, able to cleanse and heal from all sin. Lord, we commit them unto thee. Be merciful and gracious. Look down upon them. Bring peace to their souls. And Lord, we pray for each that gather here. Lord, we pray for thy church here. Be with them, Lord, as they continue to worship week by week in thy name. Be present and in the midst of them. May they feel thy presence, Lord, known and felt in their hearts. And Lord, we do pray, hear all the prayers and the petitions that are offered up in this house of thy prayer. Be unto them prayer hearing and prayer answering. And Lord, may they come to thee, knowing of a truth, Lord, that thou hast promised, they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. So, Lord, do undertake, and we pray, Lord, for the deacons of this thy church. Oh, do give them that grace, that wisdom, Lord, and that teaching, that they may be enabled indeed in their office to instruct and teach, to point to Jesus, and Lord, to direct the souls of thy people in matters concerning them. And Lord, we pray, be with them, Lord, in their responsibilities, as it were, in respect of this thy house of prayer, the business and all matters. O Lord, be their helper at all times, and particularly, Lord, hear their prayers and their petitions concerning this church and the welfare of souls. And so we commit them into thy hands. And Lord, we pray for the young friends. We pray for the children. We pray for the babe in arms. Oh Lord, oh that, Lord, it is a mercy to be found in the Lord's house. But oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt take the means whereby, Lord, thou wilt in a secret but a powerful way lead and direct them, Lord, into that way everlasting. Oh Lord, we do pray that thy word and thy truth, though in their young years, may be made effectual in their hearts, may be a constraint upon them, still to serve thee, still to come to the means of grace and the ordinances of thy house. O Lord, we commit these things into thine ever merciful hands. And we pray that there may be a spiritual prosperity here in and amongst thy people. Oh, that they may be enabled to speak of the things that Jesus hath done for their souls. Oh, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, oh, thy dealings with thy people, their deliverances, their mercies, thy gracious hand towards them. Lord, we do pray that that spiritual prosperity truly may be found here in thy house and amongst thy people, and that thy name shall be glorified. Oh, cause them, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of thee. And Lord, we do pray that there may indeed be that rejoicing, Lord, amongst thy people here, over their great salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, these things we pray for, and we pray, Lord, subdue all sin, and let not sin have dominion over us. O Lord, we do pray, help us. We are brought to that realization time and again, that in us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We realize it, Lord, in a very personal way. But, we come, Lord, to the place that thy servant Paul realized. When he would do good, evil was present with him. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord, the only refuge for our poor souls, the precious blood of Jesus, that healing balm that flows through his blood to cleanse the conscience clean, to heal the wounds that sin hath made. Lord, we do thank thee that thou, Lord, dost continue to show mercy upon us. We are unworthy of the same. Lord, draw near to us now. We seek thy help. Look down upon thy servant. Speak through him by thy Spirit. Show him what to say, what to speak, Lord. And open the hearts of thy people to hear and to receive thy word. And, Lord, thy word may prosper whereto thou wilt send it, for it shall not return unto thee void. And so, Lord, be our helper, both he that shall speak and those that shall hear. And we pray that thy name shall have the glory and the praise. And we ask these mercies with the pardon and the forgiveness of our every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 941. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. 941.
seeking once more the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention again to the words that we held this morning, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, and reading together from verse 21, 22 and 23. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, reading from verse 21, 22 and 23. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Very briefly, we just noticed this morning the solemn matter that came upon the church at Corinth, a church that Paul was very instrumental in forming, for he preached there for at least 18 months. A church was formed, but over a period of time there were other ministers who indeed followed Paul, as Apollos, perhaps here Cephas, you see other ministers also, and they became carnal in making judgments in respect of their ministry and the word that they spake. And it was a very solemn time and season, because there were deceivers also amongst them, false teachers, and their persuasions were also brought about this solemn truth of carnality, making judgments. Well, this truth in respect of the Lord's servants, he has raised them up a heavenly calling, as we made mention this morning, a heavenly calling, and their gifts to the church. They all belong to the church, every one of them. The Lord has given them to his people, that they should be instruments in his hand, and the way that he will speak to his people through the ministry of the gospel. And they are given differing gifts and graces. Some may preach and speak much in respect of salvation. Some may be very greatly experimental. Some may be teachers. I've heard some that are more teachers rather than preachers, but I've found them profitable, you see, and I wouldn't make a judgment in respect of them. If the Lord is using them and their instruments in his hand, may the Lord help us to hear them and to receive them. And the word that they will minister. And we have this truth, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Everything belongs to the church. We're not to glory in men. I hope and pray, dear friends, that you never see a man in the pulpit when I'm in the pulpit. I hope you see Christ. I pray to be nothing. I pray to decrease, that Christ may increase, and that he shall have all the glory and the praise in respect of the ministry and the word. For he is worthy of all praise, isn't he? Hasn't he done all things well? Hasn't he provided a ministry for us? A word for us? To keep us inwardly and spiritually alive? And he comes continually to refresh and to renew us. Oh, we're so dependent upon him for this. All things are yours. We closed by speaking of life, but I would just remind you that we were continuing just to make mention of that poor man Lazarus and that rich man. All things are yours. All things belong to Lazarus, that poor man who had nothing, destitute of many comforts of this life, at the gate of the rich man, begging. And yet, all things belong to him. We must believe it. And in that same way that all things belong to him, and so they belong to us. We made mention once or twice of that rich man. Probably had all that he needed in this life. Probably had the capability to obtain all that he wanted. And yet, we're coming to the next word, which made the difference between Lazarus and that rich man. There was a parting, a separation. All things are yours, or death. Oh, can this be so? All things are yours, death. Oh, it isn't a matter or a subject perhaps that we want to hear about. Death. But it made the difference. It showed to us clearly and plainly the blessedness. Of what Lazarus obtained. The time of his death. The time of God's appointment when he should be removed from this earthly scene. That poor man who had nothing of this world's goods. Nothing that he could call his own, really. And yet he was rich. And death. I just want to bring out one or two truths in respect of death. All things are yours, death. Do we ever contemplate death? Is it in our thoughts? Is it in our meditations, contemplations, considerations? Do we contemplate death? All our days are numbered. Every one of them. We don't know the number. But the Lord knows the number. The Lord, the psalmist says, knoweth the days of the upright. He knoweth all their days. And he knoweth their last day upon the earth. But have we been brought to this thought? This prayer of Moses, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Just two thoughts in respect of these days, the days which the Lord will bless us with here below. They're the days that the Lord has given to us. There came a time and a season when Joshua, he had taken many kingdoms of Canaan, and they were come to a time and a season of rest and peace in the land. But we're informed of this in respect of Joshua. He had called the elders, the princes, the captains and the judges together. And he said this, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. This day I am going the way of all the earth." The Lord said to Abraham, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace." That is the end of his days, in peace. "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." Was there any comfort in his soul, dear friends, in respect of this? He'd come to the end of his days. What comfort had he got? Had he got any blessing, any confirmation in his poor soul that it was well with him? Was it disturbing to his mind that he was leaving this earthly scene? Is there anything to hold us? Do we think perhaps that we're young, we've got a life to live? Is that what we think? Do we think that we're going to see many days upon the earth? Dear friends, do not trust to it. I remember when that tsunami and that earthquake happened in Japan. It led me to speak on two Lord's Days, different chapels, different sermons, but respecting that event. Dear friends, in a moment of time, thousands were removed into eternity. In a moment of time. One moment, they were living. Another moment, they were in eternity. No one expected it. No one looked for it. Think of the plans and the arrangements that had been made by many the previous evening for the next day. Think of those who had made arrangements for their workplace plans. Think of those that were going to school and all the arrangements made for that. Think of those who had probably arranged, perhaps, and planning holidays. Everything in a moment of time was cut off, wasn't it? We do not know what a day may bring forth. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. All our days are with the Lord. He will keep us and he will preserve us till that day when he will remove us from this earthly scene. And until he will do that, may we be brought to this contemplation and meditation to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Did Joshua go forth without any hope in his soul, dear friends, that heaven was his portion. Did he? I believe, dear friends, like unto Abraham, he had not only he put his foot upon this land of Canaan, which the Lord had promised to them, but this truth, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I do believe that, dear friends. I do not believe that Joshua was fearful of this day. Sometimes we may be afraid of death. It is a solemn matter, isn't it? Well, we want to be right with Jesus. That hymn came into my mind in respect of this, 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Sometimes I'm afraid to die. All things are yours. Death is yours. Let us see the blessing of this. Jesus is our forerunner. Jesus has gone before us. Jesus hath passed this way before us. Yes. He laid down his life for his people, voluntarily, lovingly, and willingly laid down his life for his people. He laid down his life that his people might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. And then we didn't mention this morning, in respect of speaking of life, of eternal life, because that is what Jesus came to do. He came not only to give life spiritual, but life eternal. And friends, let us look to it. Because of this truth, I go to prepare a place for you. Now Jesus laid down his life, and he rose again the third day, ascended into heaven at the right hand of his Father. And here is all our hope, because the church will follow him. Are we following in the steps of the dear Lord Jesus? In every part and aspect of his life, are we following in his steps? And now this hope that I believe that Joshua held and Abraham held. And I speak of Job. The Old Testament saints were well taught, dear friends, well taught. Let me just refer you to Job in that 19th chapter of Job. Verse 25, I believe it is. The wonderful truth that he spake, and the blessing that belonged to him. And the Lord, as it were, by his Spirit, raised him up out of his present trouble and affliction, and showed him his heaven. for I know that my Redeemer liveth. You see, his Redeemer, who would lay down his life for him, lay down his life, my Redeemer, liveth, rose again, the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, what a blessed time Job must have had. The Lord drew near to him. I believe it was a real comfort to his soul. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Where was his hope fixed, dear friends? It was in his Redeemer. And then, his Redeemer liveth, and he ever liveth now, to make intercession for us. But here is the hope. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. What a wonderful blessing and a mercy it is, dear friends, to have this little hope in Jesus, this little comfort and peace in our souls, that it will be well with us. Let us apply our hearts to wisdom. Let us find those times and seasons to turn aside and to contemplate what Jesus has truly done for us. You know, when he laid down his life, when he redeemed his church, he conquered sin, death, hell, the grave, world, flesh and devil. He conquered. He overcame for his people. And death, that great last enemy. And it is an enemy. What is the blessing? Jesus removed the sting of death. What is the sting of death, dear friends? Why, it's sin. Sin is a sting of death. And that was the awful difference in respect of that rich man. That sting of death wasn't removed. The sting of death was removed from Lazarus. Oh, dear friends, that was it, wasn't it? Lazarus, born up in the bosom of Abraham, a type of heaven, you see, and that rich man, thrust into hell. That was his portion. But oh, for Lazarus, all things are yours. What a mercy it is not to die in Christ, particularly, but to sleep in Christ. Why sleep, dear friends? Because they will rise again. You see, will rise again. Oh, what mercy it is that that sting of death hath been removed from his people. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And oh, that sting of death, sin, that has been put away for the Lord's dear people through the finished work of the dear Redeemer. Now the blessing and the mercy is this: for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. This is the blessing that belongs to the church. All things are yours. Death is yours. And dear friends, let us not forget this. Jesus has appointed the time when he will gather his people to himself. He giveth grace and glory. It is appointed, dear friends, when we shall leave this earthly scene. Do not let it be grieving to thy soul. What a mercy it is to be one with Jesus and to know that we're comfortably resting and abiding in his arms, which are everlasting arms, upholding arms, keeping arms, and none shall pluck the church out of his arms, none whatsoever. No, dear friends, even death, dear friends, will not pluck the church out of Christ's arms. Christ has secured their heaven for them. And friends, he's bringing his church to himself. That is what he prayed for to his heavenly Father. Father, I pray. And his prayer is answered in the affirmative. And the church are inside this prayer, bound up inside this prayer. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Dear friends, he is seated at the right hand of the Father today, King of kings, Lord of lords. He is watching over us. He is keeping us and preserving us. But friends, each day of our lives, when this day is gone, is a day nearer to that time when Jesus will bring us to himself. And each day, dear friends, that we live here below is a nearer day to our eternal rest. All things are yours. Do not let it grieve our spirit. Pray for grace. Pray for the blessing of Jesus and his promise to find a resting and abiding place in our souls, that it shall be well with us. All things are yours. Now, I don't want to speak too deeply on some of the things, but things present or things to come. Present things, things in our lives, things today, present things, all are yours. All that the Lord is managing in this earth. And we do know that time is coming to a close, because we are instructed that heaven and earth shall pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We are instructed of this. And it must come to that time. Things present, all are yours. Now the Lord is managing, is ruling and overruling in every matter concerning us. Times of trial, times of affliction, times of trouble, they're all with the Lord. And that is where we can come into this truth again. And it's a parallel truth with this. All things working together for good to them that love God. The trials and the difficulties. the troubles that we shall pass through, that we shall endure. Things present, the Lord's overruling hand in them. All things are yours. We know that afflictions and troubles and trials are appointed for us. But oh, what is the mercy in that, dear friends? What is the mercy of our troubles and trials? Do they bring us to Jesus? You see, do they bring us to the throne of grace? Things present. Do we go to him? Do we turn to him? He wants to hear thy voice. He wants to hear thy trouble. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. You see, he turned to the Lord. Things present. What have we got, dear friends, in things present? Let us behold those things that the Lord has blessed us with. The worship of his name. Do we know, dear friends, what a favour it is to come to the Lord's house? I believe, dear friend, that poor Lazarus knew something of that. The rich man went away with nothing. Dear friends, we are rich. To be found in the Lord's house, to have a desire for his name, to serve him, to seek him, to love him, to thank him, to exalt him in our poor way, to bless him. Abundant mercies, goodnesses, kindnesses to us. Promises. Yes, what a favour it is to be found in the Lord's house, and then this truth to where he speaks to us, isn't it? He speaks to us through his word, through his ministers. He does meet our needs, things present. Or things to come. Just mention, dear friends, anything that might come into our path. All things are yours. It is what they might do for us, isn't it? Where they might lead us. It will be to Jesus, whatever may come into our path. Things to come. We do not know. Those things are hidden from us. But we're informed here that there are those things here that belong to us. All things are yours. And then what else is there to come? Well, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming again. Has that been found in our prayers of late? That thou art coming again? Are we ready for him? Are we praying for his coming? You see, he's bidden us so to do. He's coming again. Job knew about it. Oh, how well spiritually taught they were. Abraham knew. Do we know? Are we waiting for him? Dear friends, I just think of that one word in respect of this. It will be a blessed and a glorious time and season. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It will be a glorious day, dear friends, because we shall admire him, we will love him, and friends, it will never be broken. It will never be interrupted. No, we love him now, but there are interruptions, aren't there? Well, it will be pure bliss and happiness. The Lamb of God in the midst of the throne. And ye are Christ's. All are yours, and ye are Christ's. Paul wrote some precious words here through the Holy Spirit, didn't he? And ye are Christ's. I think of the word purchase. Purchase. What a good word it is. And the application of it, respecting Christ. What a precious word it should be to us. Purchased. I think of the song of Moses and the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 15. Fear and dread shall fall upon them, that is, upon the Egyptians, by the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Precious price, dear friends. Remember the Passover lamb. The blood was shed. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Ah, dear friend, the judgment did not touch upon the children of Israel. And friend, there will be no condemnation, no judgment of God upon his dear people. No, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And we read together in both our readings this evening the precious truth of this. In the 6th chapter of Corinthians, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, oh, the price of his own heart's blood, that he shed for thee, for thy sins, to put them away forever, that they should never again be charged against thee, never be charged upon thy conscience. No, we may be reminded again of that fit man that took that goat into the wilderness, never to be seen any more, sins of his people blotted out forever. And then how precious is the blood of Jesus that we read together in that first epistle of Peter. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, bought with a price. Christ became the surety of thy soul. Christ laid down his life willingly and lovingly in thy place at Calvary. Oh, the price that he paid, dear friends. A when Christ was thrust upon the cross, and oh, the solemn truth of that, dear friends, in respect of that work that he came to do. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. What is that end, dear friends? He was reckoned amongst the transgressors. He was looked upon as a sinner. They believed him to be a devil, a glutton and a wine bibber. He connected himself, dear friends, with sinners. It was sinners that came to him, sinners that felt their need of him. This must be an encouragement, perhaps, to some in here. No. Whatever thy sins are, however great you may feel them to be, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief, see Saul of Tarsus. A sinner made a saint. The precious blood of Jesus, and ye are Christ's. And what is the truth? Ye are married unto him. My beloved is mine and I am his. Oh, this is the wonderful union, dear friends, through the cross. We've been espoused to him through the gospel. We belong to him. We've been taken into divine ownership, dear friends. He owns us as his people. This is the wonderful mercy that we have, that we belong to him. And ye are Christ's. And Christ is God's. And I think of this more in particular in respect of the work that he came to do. I know that he was the eternal Son of God. But I think of him in the work of his mediation, where indeed his Father was well pleased in him. Ah, dear friends, behold my servant. This is Jesus, his work of mediation, the work that he came to do, to purchase thy soul. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Christ is God's, his dearly beloved Son, but oh, what a precious gift to us, dear friends. All things are yours. What a precious gift to us, an unspeakable gift, isn't it? I believe the words that were something like this, that the Lord Jesus spoke to that Samaritan woman. If thou knewest who it was that speaketh unto thee, thou wouldest know the gift of God. She did find out, didn't she? That it was Jesus that was the gift of God. Oh, what mercy it is. Dear friends, I close on this one word from Peter. I can just find it. And may the Lord bless these things to our souls, to whom, as coming unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, he came to do the will of his heavenly Father. And what was the will of his heavenly Father? That he should willingly lay down his life for his people, purchase them with his blood. And this is our mercy today. And can we not say that he is precious unto us? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £670, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach tomorrow at our special services in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and evening at 6:15. Tea will be provided and the collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And Mr. Ince is again expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Number 23.
bless the services of thy house this day. We pray those things spoken in thy name may redound to thy honour and glory. Pray be with each unable to attend at this time. Thou knowest the things that detain them, but be present with them and where they are. Pardon all that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us this week that has begun. Undertake for us in all things, and help us also to know and to realize that all things are ours. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.